This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today. It's no surprise that facial hair is personal. It grows from your face. Whether you're going smooth-shaven or maintaining a beard, Dollar Shave Club offers shave and grooming products that are always high quality, but never overpriced. Visit DollarShaveClub.com and use promo code SHAVEUP for 20% off $20 or more.
I don't know about you, Limits, but I'm having the time of my life.
Me too.
I don't know what these little chocolate nuggets are out here in this big jar.
Yeah.
But they have almonds in them. And it's just a magical mixture going all the way back to a Hershey bar with almonds. It's I can't get enough of it. I'm addicted to it. Did I tell you I got allergic to chocolate as a kid?
No. And how did you acquire that?
I snuck into the cupboard, climbed up on the counter. I was maybe eight, reached into the cupboard and ate a 12-pack of Hershey bars.
Were they big size Hershey bars?
No, just normal. And then broke out in hives and then had to get shots for a year. I became allergic. And that was also my first act as a sugar addict, which I've become.
I was originally allergic to dogs.
You were?
Yeah. Like the fur of the dog would, like, I would break out in hives on my face when we would visit my grandmother and her dog. And when we got Muffin, it seemed like that happened for like the first week. And then I just adapted, and I've never had a problem ever since.
I got bit by a dog right on my behind when I was little by a German Shepherd. Yeah, a German Shepherd named Saber.
Bit you on your behind.
Yeah, and I was afraid of dogs my whole life.
Wait a minute. Why?
Why did he bite me, or why was I afraid?
Yeah, no, why did he bite you?
Because he was a vicious dog. He was Don Braun's dog. That was my friend whose nickname was Mammal. That's all you need to know about him.
And why did he choose that spot to bite you on?
I had to walk through Don Braun's yard to get out to Harlem Road. And then one time I got up the courage to walk near Saber, who was chained, and he lunged out and bit me. And so I didn't trust dogs or their owners for the next four decades. And then my wife and daughter begged for a dog, and I'm like, there's no way we're getting a dog. That's a non-starter. And then I watched the movie A Dog's Purpose, where it's like it's one dog who keeps dying and coming back to life as a different dog in a different family. So you don't just have the overwhelming emotional scene of one dog passing away. It happens eight times in the movie.
That's why I can't watch it.
And by the end of it, I was an emotional wreck, and I went to them and said, you can get any dog you want. I'll go get the dog for you.
As I'm still reeling over the season finale of NCIS Origins last night, there was a dog in the show. There was like a kid playing with a dog at the very beginning of the show, and I was like, oh, they're probably doing a flashback with one of the characters.
Yeah.
And the dog started to run, and it ended up leading to a big part in the show. And I was like, oh my gosh. So dogs factoring in again.
Did you cry?
I'm still reeling. I was looking at clips during the break.
You really are.
I really
into
am
that
an
show.
Emotional sap, ain't I?
So Mike Sullivan is gone. That's it. The Mike Sullivan era finished. And for all the great, and then by the end, you know, the not so great, I think we're left with a question. And I got asked about this on my intergalactically read Post-Gazette mailbag. A man named Runnin' Ref Rick, he calls himself. With Mike Sullivan moving on, would you put him on Pittsburgh's pro coaching? See, I didn't see that. Mount Rushmore. I'm guessing that two of them are locks, Sully and the Emperor, right? Who are your other two? Tomlin, Murtaugh, Cower, Tanner, Badger, Bob. What say you, Joe? Limits, I can't help but be distracted by, while I'm talking to you during a live radio show, you're talking to somebody else.
Yes, our good friend Marty Tuffer came in and asked me a quick question has now been resolved.
Well, why don't you tell Marty to ask during the break? Could we do that, please? He's John Calipari's old roommate, isn't he?
He is, yes. I don't know if he would appreciate you talking to him like that.
I don't appreciate him interrupting our radio show.
That's fair enough.
What did he want?
Oh, he just had a question.
Oh. So where do you... Obviously, Chuck Knoll, if there is a Mount Rushmore in Pittsburgh pro sports history of coaches, Chuck Knoll's the guy.
No doubt.
There's zero question about that. And then Sully has to be up there because other than... Who was it? Fred Clark or somebody? Other than him, who else has won multiple titles? So Sully has to be up there.
I think Danny Murtaugh would be on that Mount Rushmore as well.
Why? And I'm not saying he wouldn't be, but why is he over Chuck Tanner or Mike Tomlin or Dan Bylsma or Scotty Bowman or Bill Cower?
Well, I think championships come into a play in that, winning a championship, leading the team that he did and the success that he had with the Pirates. I mean, again, this would be what, placement number two on the Mount Rushmore? It would be Knoll, Murtaugh, Sullivan for me. And then it's that fourth spot that's up for grabs between like Cower, Tanner, Tomlin, I guess you can throw on there too.
Wait a second. Yes, you're right about that.
Yeah. Are you throwing another Penguins coach on there? Like, I don't think you're throwing Badger Bob on there.
Well, I might.
He was incredible for the short amount of time that he was here. But if you're talking Mount Rushmore, I think
longevity factors. Well, wait a second. No, you're right. You're right. Danny Murtaugh's two-time.
Yeah.
He's multiple.
Right.
So it's got to be Knoll, Murtaugh, Sully.
Yes.
And then I think the fourth spot is open.
Yeah, completely up for grabs. Where I think Chuck Tanner has a good argument to be made. But you would have to put one of those two Steeler coaches on there, though, right?
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, you can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
What do you mean?
Like one of Tomlin or Cower would have to be in that final spot. Like should...
Why? Why them over Chuck Tanner or Badger Bob?
Well, again, I think that longevity, when you're talking about a Mount Rushmore, should matter. A long career that spans a lot of successful times, not just the short period that it was winning a cup for Badger Bob. He definitely deserves consideration.
Of course, they all do. Hold on a second here. Now I made a mistake in the mailbag for the Post-Gazette because I know. Here we go. The comments below are getting to me.
What are the comments?
Danny Murtaugh won too. Yes, of course he did. I've made a mistake here, Limits. And it feels bad.
What is your Mount Rushmore again?
Ron used to freak out when he made a mistake.
Oh, I freak out if I make a mistake or if I forget something sometimes. Sometimes I get like that. A lot of the times, I'm thankfully, the older I've gotten, I've been able to brush it off easier.
Yeah. But he would make a mistake and it would destroy him for the entire show. There was one with Dave Parker once, some factual thing that Ron got wrong. And he crumbled that day. I don't feel great about this Murtaugh mistake. I feel horrible, but I'm already over it. We all make mistakes, Limits.
We do. And our ability to get over it and move past it, where you can't let a five-minute span affect you for the whole rest of the day.
That doesn't define you, does it?
It shouldn't. You shouldn't let it define you. That's the thing. You can't just be mad at yourself for that. You have to move past it.
Right. So it absolutely, the Mount Rushmore has to begin with Knoll, Murtaugh, and Sully. And then I think that there's a fourth. I think it's an empty space that needs to be filled in.
Okay, so I know that we rag Tomlin all the time for his, 17 years or whatever of non-losing seasons, whatever it is now. Should that be considered as a positive for this Mount Rushmore list?
Sure.
Just because of consistency?
Yeah. But for me, it's about championships. And as I've said, I think Mike Tomlin, you know, did A-plus work for 5 years. And since then, it's been C to C-plus. But he's certainly in consideration, you know, longevity. He's been to the mountaintop twice, and one time he cashed in. So certainly, yeah. Cowher went twice too, though. And he was here for 15 years.
Any consideration for Bousma? 1-1, gone twice?
Not really. I mean, he has won, so I guess there's some. Chuck Tanner was a very improbable win, and he was great. If I had to pick somebody else right now, it might be Badger Bob, despite only being here 1 year, because he radically changed the Penguins' culture when he arrived. They had never won. He was a Chuck Knoll-like figure in that they had never won until he got here, and then they won. And tragically, of course, it was only a one-year run. But he gets extra credit for changing a culture.
Now, talking about changing the culture for probably the best candidate that never won a championship, Jim Leland deserves some consideration with what he did with the 90, 91, 92 Pirates. Now, obviously...
No, he actually doesn't deserve... I love Jim Leland, and he was great. He gets no consideration for the
No consideration at all. Okay.
He didn't win a championship.
Well, that's what I was getting to. The fact that they never pushed him over the top would not put him ultimately on that list. But out of the candidates that never won, I think he would have the best chance. Now, then again, all three Steeler coaches of the last 50-plus years have won Super Bowls, so it's kind of hard. There's not that many choices. There's been a lot of Pirate managers and a lot of Penguins coaches. But out of those that have not won a championship, I think Leland is probably the best of them.
Yeah, I would say so. Of those that never won a championship, now you really have me thinking.
Leland would be like sixth or seventh.
Absolutely.
On my Mount
Rushmore. And I don't, believe me, he did an incredible job here and love him. But other people have won titles.
Yeah, that's the thing. Titles put you over the top.
Of course it does. Limits. I can't think of others right now off the top of my head. Jock Sutherland, if we're including college people, won 5 national titles at Pitt. Did you know that?
That was what, during the early 1910s, 1920s?
No, the 1930s. Yeah, Ron covered their team. He was the beat writer. I once did a story on Carson Long. Was it Carson Long? The old Pitt kicker? And others refurbished the grave of Jock Sutherland over in, why can't I think of the name of the famous graveyard off Beechwood Boulevard? Somebody help me on the texting line. At 928-9370. I went up there with an older Pitt fan. He had been a Pitt fan and had worked for Pitt for a number of years. And me and him and E.J. Borghetti went up to the gravesite of Jock Sutherland because it had fallen into disrepair. And it was one of the most incredible stories that I ever did. And he was a legend. An absolute legend. 5 national championships he won. Guess what, Limits? Listen to this. You ready for a number?
Yes.
Jock Sutherland's 15-year stretch at Pitt, he was 111, 20, and 12 with 79 shutouts. Yes, Limits, 79 of his 111 wins were by shutout. How about that?
That's pretty fascinating. Didn't see that stat thrown at me coming?
Yes,
did not,
I mean,
see it coming.
Think about that. They shut out everybody they played.
That's
for God's
unreal.
Sakes. And it was unbelievable. Why can't I think of that graveyard? Oh, here it is. Homewood Cemetery in Point Breeze. That's what it is. And those guys did an amazing job refurbishing that gravesite. That was really cool. Anywho,